fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission evangelization. I'm here this morning with a special guest, a young friend, Dr. Joey McCoy. Joey's a recent graduate of the University of Michigan Medical School, but he's actually chosen to work full-time in ministry, full-time in spreading the gospel. So I asked him to come on and just share a little bit of his story and what change happened in him, what the Lord's doing inside him. And anyway, welcome, Joey.
Peter, it's good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah. You've been helping us out over the last few years with an outreach to young adults that we started here called ID 916. Why don't you tell our listeners first a little bit about that, what that's about?
Yeah, sure. So ID 916 is an outreach of Renewal Ministries, which is directed towards young adults. So that's mainly people post-college, 20s and 30s kind of age. And the mission of ID 916 is to help form young adults into intentional disciples. That's what the ID stands for, intentional disciples of Jesus, and to find our deepest identity as being his disciples. So mm-hmm. It's a double use of ID, mm-hmm. which we think is eminently clever. We work with parishes across a couple different states now, just trying to help them form communities of missionary disciples in that demographic.
And you've, as I said, you just finished medical school. Congratulations. Yeah, tell us a little bit about that journey.
Yeah, so being a doctor is everything I ever thought I wanted to do ever since I was in fourth grade. It's the only thing I ever really thought of. And in high school and college, I was just beelined for it, worked really hard for it, was excited about it, was interviewing at all kinds of good med schools, ended up getting into a couple of them, and ended up choosing to go to Michigan, where I'm from the Ann Arbor area. So that was kind of a dream, I guess, a dream come true. And the moment I got to med school, a little bit, even a couple months before that, something didn't feel right, and I knew it instantly. I didn't know what it was. I wouldn't let myself admit that there was even anything going on, but looking back on it, I knew that there was something going on, and it was just a dud, you know? It was all of a sudden I found myself like walking into a house that had no one in it or something like that. It was a weird feeling. And so I ended up at the same time thinking I was hearing calls to be a priest. So I took a year off to discern all that and ended up going on a Ignatian retreat, 5-day silent Ignatian retreat, which was just one of the best weeks of my entire life. And God made it very clear to me then. This is all a summation of a longer story,
sure,
but God
sure.
made it very clear to me then that it wasn't priesthood. I was supposed to be getting married and going back to med school, and I was super disappointed.
In the marriage part or the med school part?
Both, actually, at that time. Yeah, I was kind of gung-ho for the priesthood at that time. Yeah. You know, life is short, let's do it. But during that retreat, God blessed me so abundantly with just a absolute like knowledge of his presence and mm-hmm. just an encounter with him. And oh my God, I was like on his front porch. It was so cool. So I ended up coming back to med school with very little desire for med school and medicine still, and knowing that that was going to have to change if this was really what God was calling me to. So I said, Lord, here's my desire. You've changed my desire for things in the past. So if this is really where I'm supposed to be, then here, increase my desire for it. And mm-hmm. if not, then I'll take that into account as well. So as I went through the normal med school curriculum, my desire lessened every mm-hmm. year. It lessened. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't quite sure why God was having me trudge through medical school, not giving me any kind of, there was never any clear indication that I should just hop out. It was kind mm-hmm. of always, I just knew in my heart of hearts that the Lord wants me to finish this. So I did that, and all along the way, I increased my involvement with ID 916, helping them run alpha courses, helping write blog posts and stuff here and there, and running small groups, things like that. And the more I did stuff with ID 916, or just the more that I did the basic, like helping people find God nowadays, mm-hmm. or helping people meet Jesus and come to give all of their life to him, the more I did that kind of stuff, I just absolutely came alive. I was like a dog out in a hunt. Like in Chariots of Fire when he says, when I run, I feel his pleasure. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of thing. I also appreciated that there is a enormous need in the church right now mm-hmm. that in a lot of ways things aren't looking good. We're hemorrhaging people and mm-hmm. there's an earthquake over the past however many decades that's happened. in the church and in the world that has made it very, very difficult for people to come to find Jesus to be their savior, their Lord, their king, their friend, the number one relationship in their life, and to have that most deeply within the Catholic Church. So maybe 100 years ago, the Lord would have had me just continue on being a doctor, and that would have been a good enough place for ministry. But I felt like there was a certain way in which nowadays times are different, and it's kind of all hands on deck. So you
experience a kind of urgency about responding to the challenges of the moment that we're in.
Exactly. And, you know, I went to undergrad at University of Michigan. Most of my family doesn't subscribe to any kind of religion. And I live in Ann Arbor as well, which is a pretty secular place. And so just sitting in it and living in it, growing up in it, realizing that if all this is real, if all the stuff that's in the Bible is real, if Jesus is real, then there's just a lot that his people are going to have to do to rise to the occasion nowadays.
Yeah. I was just thinking of listening to Bishop Barron the other day. I was speaking at a conference in Ottawa, and he was a part of it, but they did a live stream with him on a screen.
Yeah.
And his whole focus was on what he called a major crisis today, the major crisis in the church. He said, I'm really, really concerned about this because we haven't seen anything quite like it. And he said, it's the rise of the nuns, not the N-U-N-S, not the nuns, but those who no longer self-identify with no religious affiliation. And he said, like in 1970, 3% of the population in the U.S. self-identified as nuns. He said in 2015, in a Pew study that came out, it was up to 25%, which is 80 million Americans now self-identify as having no religious affiliation. But the interesting thing is that for young people 30 and under, it's 40% just generally across the population. But ironically, baptized Catholics under the age of 30, it's almost 50%. That is, almost 50% of baptized Catholics in that age group have drifted away from the church or marched away from the church, whatever, and now self-identify as having no religious affiliation.
Yeah.
I mean, he just looked into the camera and he said, this is like an earthquake. This is an enormous problem that we absolutely have to identify. And so his strategy, at least in that particular talk, was to say, what are they saying about why they're leaving?
Yeah.
And then how do you address exactly those questions?
Yeah.
But fundamentally, what we're talking about is, I mean, disciples don't leave the church. I mean, disciples don't leave the body of Christ. So what's clear is they hadn't become disciples or walked away from that commitment, didn't know what it is, which is really at the heart of what you want to do.
Yeah, I think a general thing that I noticed when I went through Catholic education and I went through all those processes that the 50% of those people that walk away probably have went through.
Yeah.
Is that we do a lot of how we approach things nowadays, it seems to me, is that we try to train up people to be part of a club, or we just try to train up people to think a certain way, because we're a lot of Catholic life is just kind of caught in the head sometimes and can turn into just some kind of an intellectualism. And the people who end up being kind of prominent in the church are the people who are very attracted to that kind of thing, are people who like to think, are people who are very intellectual, but that's not everybody, you know? And it's certainly not everybody when you're 15 and you're trying to communicate, okay, why is it that the Catholic faith is actually relevant in this person's life? And then we do a lot of stuff and just throwing people all kinds of doctrines, which are true and they're helpful along the way, but they're not the center of why we do things. You know, the very center of why the Catholic Church is or will be or ever has been is because it is disciples of Jesus Christ who are making other disciples of Jesus Christ. That's how it started in the beginning. And whenever we get away from that and we get towards just looking like we're trying to perpetuate an institution that we think we're mainly running, or just perpetuating organizational structures, or perpetuating a club kind of mentality, I think God then kind of lets us reap what we sow. And when we're not actually just fully trying to lay our lives down before Jesus and have Jesus be the center of, like, the person of Jesus, when I was growing up in Catholic school, it rarely came up. Which is like, that's shocking, you know? And it's no wonder people leave. I don't blame like the people that I know that are like, I was just at a wedding this we're both at a wedding actually this past weekend, and there were many young people there. A lot of them I went to high school with, and they've kind of drifted, you know, they're part of that story. Mm-hmm. And I look at them and I'm like, I don't blame you at all, because in a lot of ways, what did you see that would keep you here? You know, you saw some good teaching on some maybe interesting things, but for someone who hasn't met Jesus, they can seem kind of esoteric and sort of like niche interests. Like, okay, great, that works for you, and that's how you like to explain the world. And don't get me wrong, we need the kind of apologetic side of stuff, and all those doctrines are extremely vital, and that, you know, they're part of the full embodiment of what is true, and so they're good. I'm not saying we toss them out or anything like that, but I'm just saying to talk about those things at the expense of the very core of why we're doing any of this, and why the church exists, which is just, it's just Jesus's embodiment on the earth. We're just supposed to be little Jesuses. We're supposed to be absolutely fascinated by the person of Jesus and want to grow into his excellence and want to help other people feel Jesus within us and know Jesus within us so that they can then imitate it and they can be passed on that way.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, he's the pearl of great price.
Yeah.
He's the reason people, you know, gave everything he had, went and bought the field because they want the pearl.
Right.
And he's what's most beautiful. We talk often about one of the strategies of evangelization today is, you know, to promote the good, the true, and the beautiful. You know,
right.
These things, which the transcendentals, I think we call them, they're
right.
called, right?
Right.
And there's a lot of truth to that, because goodness is beautiful, you know,
right.
and
right.
so is the truth. But what is most beautiful is the person, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He's goodness itself.
Yeah, right.
He's all of that.
Right.
And then the church in it's is beautiful because she reflects it.
Right.
And she, in art, in her architecture, in her prayers, in her worship, in her service, in her saints, all of that, it all comes out of being related to him and knowing you're related to him and following him and living with him, being fed yeah. by him.
Yeah.
And that's what's transformative. That's what happens at the Eucharist. That's
right.
what happens when the gospel's preached to church. That's what it's all about.
And the radical thing is that there's literally nothing else. And I think I'd be as bold to say this. There's literally nothing else that is transformative.
Yeah.
Anything that is transformative essentially because it gets back to him.
Yeah.
And any way in which we try to transform people or help people by giving them all the flowerings, but without giving them the root, without giving them the pearl of great price, the treasure yeah. buried in the field, without having them meet Jesus, who's still right. alive and who right. through his spirit can still come and live within us and totally change our life. Without that, then what are we doing?
Yeah, and I think we'll probably talk about this in our next program, but there's a way of encountering some of the beauty of the church from a distance, its art, its architecture, its history, its intellectual tradition, and that itself is very quite compelling. You know, it can draw you in, but people can stop there as well and just yeah. enjoy that and never get to the part where Jesus said, do you want to follow me?
Yeah,
okay,
right.
Then you need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and come after me. That's a whole different level
yeah.
of what it means to be a disciple. But anyway, we just have a few seconds. You can join us again tomorrow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good,
I'll be here.
Good. There's more to the story, friends. God bless you. Let's walk in Christ today as brothers and sisters in him and be a light. God bless you. Have a good day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.